Hi there, welcome to My First Time, a gaming podcast. I'm your host, Brett Claxton, joined today by Vic, as you might know from The Sidemen and, you know, various YouTube videos. You're quite a popular YouTuber, aren't you, really?
I've become somewhat of that over a very, very long career of making videos. I guess I would have to agree with that at this point.
And obviously the point of My First Time is to find out about your first time in gaming. So Vic, what was your first time?
I don't even remember when I started playing video games. I've got two older brothers, and that means that video games were just a thing that I was playing before I even knew what I was playing. I remember playing a lot of Crash Bandicoot, Pokemon, even GTA London, which was the top-down version. Probably wasn't old enough to be playing that game, but you know, I couldn't miss out on getting involved with that. So those were kind of the main early games. There was a bit of GoldenEye on the N64. Those are kind of the standout games from my childhood. Final Fantasy VII, also one from way back when. And those all kind of blur together in my early memory of starting to play video games.
Yeah. And are you excited to be getting to play the remake of Final Fantasy VII? Have you played it yet?
Yes, very excited. No, have not had a chance to play it. Almost a little afraid, because I'm sat here thinking, will it be the same as, you know, sometimes things you think they're amazing nostalgically, but then when you actually go back to them, you're like, actually, was this just, you know, good at that time, or will it be good again? Also, a heavy time sink, that game. Yeah. A lot of hours went into, which when I was kind of, you know, 12, 13, I had hours and hours to spend playing these games, exploring them. Whereas now, I think I'd struggle to find the time to, you know, really dive into the game deeply.
Yeah.
But we shall see.
I think that's my worry as well. It's like, I've probably got like three different saves and old PlayStation cards where I've played each of those saves about 100 hours. And it's like, I don't have that time anymore. Time has passed. But obviously, you talked a lot about games that you've played that, you know, a varied history of playing various bits and pieces. But what game has like stuck with you? What game would you class as your favorite? What was the first time you played that?
That is a tough question, because there are so many. I feel like the first game in every genre is kind of like iconic and getting you into those games. But I had to pick one. Actually, it's one that I didn't mention right there, but it was a key kind of game for me, and that would be Halo 3. That was actually the first game that, it was the game that I bought an Xbox 360 just to play that game, and it was one that I really, really enjoyed. And it was kind of, maybe I got to that age, like 12, 13, where I was starting to kind of properly understand video games. I wasn't just the annoying younger brother who had to be put on someone's team. I could actually start to learn them myself. They had their amazing rank, true skill system. So that was a game that really kind of got me hardcore into gaming and FPS for the most part, which is where a lot of my career has existed.
Yeah. And, you know, were you good at Halo 3, or did you just enjoy it?
At the start, probably not that great, but when I'd put in tens of hours, I became, I'd say pretty decent. I mean, it's hard to look back and work out where that, you know, would put me compared to nowadays, but at the time I was a brigadier, which is the second from the top rank, which was general. Never did quite make it to general rank, but I was, you know, I was pretty happy myself for getting to brigadier rank, so
yeah.
I'd say I was moderately above average at the game.
I mean, it's better than me, so it's like, it's always a positive. And I suppose with your time with Halo, and obviously because you were younger at the time, were you a terrible teenage online player, do you think? Did you like blare music loudly at everyone and insult their mothers?
No, I would actually, I mean, I would always retaliate. You couldn't let someone in the lobby kind of talk trash to you and not talk trash back.
Yeah.
But I don't think I actually ever really instigated. I was never the one to start the argument. I'd like to think, you know, when I got caught swearing on the Xbox, I would get told off by my parents. That wasn't okay. That wasn't allowed. I would always be quite, you know, well-behaved. I'd usually be sat in like the living room or something. And I'd like to think I was quite respectful, even from an early point in gaming.
Can you think of any insults you might have thrown out at the time of being a young teenager?
Oh, I actually don't remember any of them. I remember there being a lot when it would always be a clash when American players joined the lobby, and it was like the English versus the Americans. But they just like shout, "Oh, do you drink cups of tea?" And we would just say, "You're fat and you eat burgers." That's about all I remember. It was along those lines. It wasn't particularly They weren't particularly clever insults. I'll leave it at that. Hence probably why I don't remember any of them. But that's about as far as it got.
And obviously, that's the first game that you remember like being a favourite. But what was the first game you remember playing on your YouTube channel?
So that, I started my YouTube channel around the time of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, which is actually the same for a lot of YouTubers who are still around at the moment. That I feel like was the first Call of Duty game to really pick up on YouTube. Actually, if anything, I'd say the first video game to pick up on YouTube. PewDiePie started with Modern Warfare 2. Josh and JJ, who are also from the Sidemen, that was their first game. A lot of American YouTubers, the whole of FaZe Clan. So actually a pretty iconic game for the starting of a whole scene of creators who've become hugely successful to this day. And for me, my first video was on Modern Warfare 2. My friend was recording with his Dazzle, his standard definition capture card. I had an intervention, the sniper. I shot two bullets, got a collateral, and then a kill. So I killed three people in the final kill cam. And that was my big moment. Me and all my friends are screaming in our squeaky voices. Back then, that's literally how it was. 14-year-old Vic then emailed that clip off to Machinima and Optic Hex's top 5 kill cams of the week. It was featured there. It got probably at the time only like 10, 20 views on my channel. But that was the very kind of starting point where people had seen my kill cam, knew who I was, and I started. The excitement of that kind of drove me to keep on making videos.
Yeah. Obviously, I know YouTube back then was a completely different beast to what it is now. But would you say that's like, for people looking to get into YouTube, that's what they should be thinking of doing? Just like when they do something cool, upload it, share it about where you can?
I mean, definitely. There's no harm in doing it. That's kind of the best part. But just use it as a fun outlet, I would say. Because that's what we all did at the start. And it made it much easier to transition it into something bigger because we never felt the pressure or the expectation to do a whole lot more than we were doing.
And obviously, so your first video was Modern Warfare, but what about the first time, like, you became a part of the Sidemen? Can you remember the first Sidemen video that you did?
Yeah, so this was, I want to say, 2013. So Grand Theft Auto 5 had come out, and it was obviously going to be a huge hit. Then the online came out, and I was just looking for people to play with. And funnily enough, there'd been some issues on YouTube, some changes that we were all trying to work out. And I actually got added to a call with Josh, Simon, JJ, AA9Skills, and Ethan. And they were actually just about to record GTA. And I just happened to be taking them through some kind of new YouTube algorithm things. And I don't actually quite remember exactly what it was. And then they said, hey, we're about to record some GTA. Do you want to hop in? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And we had a load of fun recording that. So we carried on doing that. And realistically, through the course of that, we made our GTA 5 crew. It was called the Ultimate Sidemen, which was a bit of a derogatory term to ourselves. Basically, we weren't taking it seriously. It was a joke.
Yeah.
And people enjoyed our videos so much, they started recognizing us as the Sidemen. And slowly but surely, we created a whole brand surrounding that. But it was actually the fans who created the brand and not us. We never really envisioned it being a collective. It just kind of happened that way.
Yeah,
and that was just a good natural chemistry.
So it was basically a case of like the whole thing was almost an accident, I suppose. You just wanted someone to play GTA with.
Correct. Yeah. as are a lot of the kind of successes on YouTube. It's just who you bump into, what game you end up playing. If you're in the right place at the right time and you're making entertaining stuff with a bit of luck, things will pick up.
Yeah. And I know as well, like on your channel and well on your various channels, like you stream a lot of Minecraft, which is a game that I think a lot of younger gamers got really into. And then there was this sort of time where people weren't really playing it. And now it's back with a vengeance. Why do you think it's back with a vengeance? Why do you think it's like just made this epic return?
It made an epic return because it filled a void in gaming that we've discovered this year. There was obviously last year, Fortnite surged in popularity absolutely hugely. But every game has a lifespan, and I've been through the lifespan of several games on YouTube, starting with Call of Duty. I witnessed FIFA rise and fall. I witnessed GTA 5 rise, and to be fair, it hasn't fallen dramatically. But in terms of what you could do creatively, it kind of took a dive. I then saw Minecraft take off, And then fall, player H1Z1, do the same thing, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, then Fortnite. And Fortnite was so huge when it fell off, and the skill gap in the game became too wide, in my opinion, with their addition of the World Cup and the insane prize pools that they have, and a lot of kids being able to enter online and having this real drive to become insanely well, insanely good at the game. When you've got 100 players in the lobby, there's always going to be one of those players who is insanely good that wants to play in the World Cup, for example, and he is going to absolutely decimate the majority of the rest of the lobby, so it becomes very unfriendly to the casual player, and this kind of increased and increased and increased and got to a point where the game's almost unbearable for a casual to play if they ever have a hope of winning the game. So I feel like that created a huge, huge drop-off in interest in the game. One, for people playing it, and two, for creators. It became very difficult for creators to keep up with the players that are doing creative mode training courses 5-6 hours a day. A content creator can't really compete with those players. They're not on the same playing field. So that then made it harder for content creators to create content. So that created this void in the space. And Minecraft has always been an excellent platform for content creation. It has the creativity, the sandbox elements, the open source ability to code into it. So when this is now a thing that still exists and was popular, it became popular again. There's this whole new audience that started watching YouTube with Fortnite who hadn't seen any videos from the 4 or 5 year ago period where Minecraft was the biggest thing on YouTube. So for them, it's all fresh and new, and they're no longer interested in watching Fortnite, or the favorite creator is no longer creating for Fortnite. So Minecraft is the next logical place for content creators and audiences to go.
Yeah. And obviously, because you're someone who in the past was making Minecraft videos and is now making them again, like,
yes,
what's the main thing that's changed with the way that you're making them? Like, are you, because is it the pack, the team that you
yes,
make them with? Like, has that evolved, as much changed since the beginning?
That has fallen apart, as it turns out.
That's how it evolved.
so that's no longer a thing. So it was very much focused around kind of Minecraft minigames and creating content with the pack in the previous era. This time round, two of the members of the pack have not returned to Minecraft yet. So Lachlan is now still a huge Fortnite YouTuber. Preston tends to make kind of more kind of real life, kid-friendly content. And they've both seen massive success doing that and have not felt the pressure or need or want to switch back to Minecraft.
Hmm.
So a smaller group, a lot of the old faces from Minecraft, we've introduced a lot of the new faces to the game and kind of been creating content with them. But on a content point of view, it's actually the same, which I think is what a lot of the viewers are actually really enjoying, that nostalgia. They grew up watching, a lot of them grew up watching us make Minecraft videos, and now we're making similarly styled Minecraft videos and they're just enjoying it again. And there's a whole new audience that's experiencing it for the first time.
So I suppose it's almost, it's nostalgia, but with a familiar face and a familiar voice sort of like talking you through it sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously outside of making your content for YouTube, I know that you do a lot of sort of like commercial projects and things like that as well. What's been like the strangest video or thing that you've been a part of that you can remember?
Strangest. I guess one of my favorite video making experiences outside of gaming was a filming shoot I did with Ubisoft for the current Rainbow Six game.
Hmm.
And that in that shoot, we got together with Chris Ryan, who's an ex-SAS, member of the SAS and incredibly well-selling author. And he came down and kind of took us through some basic training. And then we had to kind of carry out a mission where we had paintball guns, we had enemy targets, and we had to rescue some hostages from a stripped out Boeing aircraft, which is just one of those crazy, crazy things where you've seen it in the video games, but we actually got to kind of do it in person.
Yeah.
That was such a fun experience for me.
Did you do it successfully? Did you successfully save them?
Yes, we did, actually. It went well. I was a little concerned that I was going to shoot one of the hostages by accident, and they didn't have as much protective gear as the enemies we were against. But no, everything all went well. I feel like there was almost some friendly fire, but I don't think there was any. So
was that
it went
your,
well. It was fun.
Was that your fault, the friendly fire, or was that someone else's?
It's hard to tell when there's paintballs flying everywhere and you're inside a plane that's full of smoke grenades. It's hard to know what's going on. No comment.
And since you've been doing this for so long, do you ever get itchy feet and want to do something else? You always seem happy whenever I've seen you like making videos or watch like your latest videos. Do you see yourself doing this for the foreseeable future for a while?
Definitely. There's always kind of a point at the end of every content cycle where you're stuck in this equilibrium between, hey, this gets views, this is what people want to see, versus, hey, I don't enjoy doing this anymore. And it's always really difficult. You do get to a point where you want to move on, and sometimes you have to test the water with a little bit of content. Sometimes you need to kind of, in my experience, I've made new channels to kind of experiment with different styles of content. So there's always an ever-growing kind of itching feeling to move on to something new. And we've kind of evolved several times. You can't make the same content for more than a year or two without the viewers losing interest and there not being new viewers for that content and it just falling off. So you always have to reinvent yourself. But I see myself carrying on making videos for the foreseeable future. No idea what they would be about, but it's something that I've done for the past 8-9 years and I've loved, for the most part, all of it. So it's something that I intend on carrying on to do for some significant time.
Yeah. And with obviously next year or the year after, we should have to be getting the next Xbox, the next PlayStation. What sort of stuff would you like to see from them to sort of make your life easier, I guess?
Weirdly enough, nothing. I very, very rarely use a console anymore. I feel like for kind of professional gaming or high-level gaming and content creation, you have to be on PC. So for me, and all games that come out on console now tend to usually release on PC as well. So for me, the kind of the new consoles aren't actually that exciting. Where my whole career started with recording console gameplay, now I rarely ever actually pick up a controller and play on a console just because I have more powerful hardware in my computer so I can run games better and kind of enjoy that more.
Yeah. And going back to the nostalgia element, I suppose, obviously with Minecraft coming back, is there any other games that you remember playing like back in the day that you'd love to see make a resurgence so you could start playing them again?
Oh, for sure. I feel like Halo 3 was ahead of its time with the Forge custom modes, with the skill system, the true skill system. I feel like if that game had come out maybe a few years later, I think it would have been a huge hit on YouTube. And I believe the remastered version is coming to PC soon, which hopefully should be a really cool chance to maybe see that game kind of spike in popularity. And just the original Call of Duties, I really enjoyed making videos on those. The entire scene has kind of changed and shifted, so whether we'll see those games resurge like they once did is yet to be discovered. But Halo and Call of Duty, I would love to kind of have more of an excuse to make content on YouTube.
Yeah. And keeping with Halo and Call of Duty, obviously you said Halo 3 is your favorite Halo. What's like your favorite moment in a Halo game? Is it just playing the multiplayer in 3, or is it like a certain moment in the story?
I mean, the campaign for Halo 3 was great. There's the iconic scene where you're driving the Warthog to escape the final level and the floor's falling around you. That's just so iconic. I mean, that's a moment that stands out in my head for Halo. But for me, it really was just kind of playing team doubles at a high level, keeping those call-outs going. You need that win to get that rank up. Just the intense environment. Those moments when a game you would be kind of like Team Slayer, Team Deathmatch, you'd be 32 to 32 kills. There's 20 seconds left on the clock. Whichever team gets that next kill is going to win and hopefully rank up. It's just those moments I used to love. It was just a fun experience and really intense gaming.
Yeah. And with Call of Duty as well, is your memories with that mainly the multiplayer, or do you have memories of like the iconic story moments as well?
Again, I played the storylines, but again, it was the multiplayer. It was just using the snipers, going to do cool final kills on Search and Destroy and Modern Warfare 2. Those were the key kind of moments for me that I just loved and really enjoyed.
Yeah. And obviously, I know we talked about like the commercial sort of stuff that you've done. In terms of videos you've made yourself, are there any that you've made that just like make you cringe watching them back these days?
Probably like my first 1,000 videos. Just in the sense that obviously I had no idea what I was doing in my life. I mean, they're almost endearing in a way, because it's just a lot of the time it's just me sat with some Call of Duty gameplay in the background rambling about something pointless and random. That's kind of how my career started. I mean, I guess, you know, it, from my point of view now, it's kind of cringe, but that's how YouTube was back then. That's what people were doing. It was kind of much lower quality. It was a little bit random, like, why is this a thing? But there's no standout video, realistically. It's just kind of, obviously, when you start doing something, you don't really know what you're doing, and you have to kind of find your way. And I couldn't have done it any other way. Mm. But in hindsight, it's just a little bit like, why did people watch this? Why was I doing this? But in the end, it all paid off, so can't really complain.
Yeah, and obviously, your career's like seen you do fantastic things and travel the world. What's been your favourite place that you've been when travelling the world?
Ooh, that is a very, very tough question. One trip I really enjoyed with Square Enix for the release of Just Cause, I went to Corsica with Ali A, another YouTuber, and we got to do a whole bunch of really fun experiences surrounding the game. We got to skydive, race around on jet skis, do some like team building activities, and it was just a really kind of nice spot. That was definitely up there with kind of one of my favorite work-related travels. And then another one that was really fun, I got to go to the Australian Open earlier this year, because they had a Fortnite Pro-Am at the Australian Open, got to watch the men's final, and it was just an altogether really cool experience to see kind of tennis and Fortnite or gaming kind of collide worlds and work together on the same event. That was fun.
And how did they collide? Like, did people seem accepting of Fortnite being there?
Oh, massively. Actually, I think definitely brought a huge audience that tennis wouldn't usually have had. We had kind of tons of fans there. Everyone was just very excited about the whole thing. I think it's also really great to get this younger generation that have just, you know, grown up with video games being so prevalent, actually out and about to see different things, to kind of follow a sport. I think that was actually really cool to see. I think both communities really embraced each side of it.
Yeah.
And it was just a fun, wholesome experience.
And do you see yourself sticking to YouTube, or are you always looking for ways to sort of branch out?
I think YouTube will always be a core and a hub. I feel like no video platform will ever compete, or in the foreseeable future, compete with YouTube. So, and it's just, you know, I've already built such a kind of such a following on the platform. I can't see myself ending up anywhere else. Kind of primarily, there's always other platforms that are fun to use, but I feel like YouTube is always the key to all of them.
Yeah. Going back to the Sidemen again, can you remember the first time you met each of them in person?
Yeah, I can actually. So I was at Eurogamer back in 2012, and I knew Toby, Josh, and JJ from online. We all kind of followed each other on Twitter, played Call of Duty together occasionally. And we met up for the first time at that event, and that was really cool. We instantly got along. We're doing the same sort of thing. It was nice for me as well to break out from my home environment where nothing was to do with gaming or YouTube to hang out in person with people who also kind of surrounded a lot of their spare time with it. So I met those guys there. And then
I'm
trying to work out the first time I met Ethan. I think it might have been actually the first Eurogamer in Birmingham at NEC. I feel like I met Ethan there. Actually, no, maybe I just met him at the house. I think maybe when we moved into the Sidemen house, I met him shortly thereafter. Not entirely sure. I then went to Gamescom in Germany, which was probably 2013. I think that's where I met Simon for the first time. He was really good friends with JJ, so he traveled there with him and was just starting YouTube then. And I think actually it might have been the Birmingham NEC Eurogame that I also met Harry at. It's actually worrying that I can't pinpoint the time I met Ethan and Harry, but everything was so crazy at kind of that time. Everything was a bit of a blur. But it was somewhere around those points in time, and we just instantly all kind of got along. It was good fun.
Yeah, I suppose like that era of the UK scene, there wasn't that many like events popping up that you could go to and meet all these people. And is it? Do you think it's much easier now for UK gamers and, you know, gamers all over the world to sort of find these events to meet up and try and find like-minded friends and stuff?
I definitely think so from the kind of competitive gaming side, with kind of publishers running events and tournaments and that side of things. However, with expos, they actually seem to be happening less and less, and having less of a demand or, you know, being less welcoming to content creators or a less necessary place to go and network and work at. So from a publisher side of view, yes, but from a kind of expo point of view, actually, I'd say there's less of a community surrounding content creation at those.
Sticking with the exhibitions and expos and stuff like that briefly, what's been your favorite memory when it comes to those sort of things, like going to Gamescom or going to Eurogamer?
I think probably one that really stands out is the first time we went to Eurogamer as the Sidemen, and we discovered this newly found online audience in person, and we were actually like, we had, it's the first time groups of kind of more than 15 or 20 people had known who we were at once, and just meeting kind of that many fans and realizing the reach that our videos had then, I think was just very kind of humbling and exciting at the time. I remember we stood outside the front of Earl's Court for maybe 2-3 hours just signing things, taking pictures, and it was such a surreal experience at the time.
Yeah. And I think we're more or less at the end of the time, so I'm going to give you just one lol random question, just like old school YouTube. So if you could replace either a leg or an arm with cheese, what limb would you choose and what cheese would you choose?
Okay, that is a question I never expected to be asked in my life. Cheese. I'm going to really science this down and I'm going to go... I'm trying to think of what is the densest cheese I can think of. I'd probably replace my left leg with... I don't know, the only cheese I can think of off the top of my head right now is Red Leicester. That's pretty solid. Because then I'd be able to use kind of hopefully my cheese leg to some effect. That is how I would answer that question. I've broken it down and made it very, very scientific or mechanical, but that's what I do.
I like it. It's a good way of doing it. But obviously, if people have watched this podcast or listened to the podcast and want to find more of you and they don't know how to find you, what's the best way to find you?
Head on over to YouTube and type in Vicstar123. Or type in Sidemen, and there are there's probably over 10,000 videos you can watch and enjoy that feature me. It's my legacy.
And obviously you can listen to the My First Time podcast on GameBytes YouTube channel, and obviously find it on iTunes and various other podcast platforms. But until next time, thank you very much for your time, Vic.
Thank you for having me.
You've all been wonderful. Goodbye.